Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. I'm the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where family B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Nancy Davgenti Emiliani of Emiliani Metro. Nancy's story is a fascinating one in the world of family business. A legacy brand, an acquisition by a global player, and then the next generation stepping forward to rebuild under the family name. Today, Nancy works alongside her cousins Maria and Carl in a truly collaborative leadership structure, while now helping bring the third generation into the business. Nancy, welcome to Growing Up B2B.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Great to have you with us. So let's start at the beginning. What did growing up around the Emiliani family business look like for you?
Oh, geez. Well, when you're born into it, right, it's a very different situation. My parents were from Sicily, so very strict, and came here for the American dream, obviously. And I have to say, it was my dad opened his division in the year that I was born, 1969, and born into it. Literally, I have pictures in my office of him holding me in the store. And, you know, I mean, it was my first job, right? Sitting behind the counter and standing on one of those stools and bagging people's products at 5 years old. So it really became just the DNA and the breath of our family. So it was all kind of, you know, family gatherings became business meetings and vice versa. So it's been, I wouldn't have had it any other way. It was the best.
So you truly grew up B2B.
Yes, literally.
Grew up.
Yes, I did. Yes.
And we've certainly had many guests on the show that follow that path. And yep. Some of my early memories at 4 or 5 years old are, you know, being at the company.
That's right. And that's all you know, right? You're just born into it and that's all you know. So it's pretty cool.
So your family business was acquired by L'Oreal in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that for a moment. What was that transition like, both emotionally and strategically?
Yeah. Well, I have to say that was probably one of the most difficult times that me personally, that I went through. So I am one of three daughters. I'm the only one that kind of stayed with the business and, mm-hmm. and you know, kind of supported my dad. And Maria and Carl were kind of the same. They were the ones staying in the business. And so for us, it was a lot different when the company sold because my sisters were like, oh, great. Look, we sold to L'Oreal, right? We were devastated. It felt like a death, like we were mourning the loss of our name, who we were. So when that's all you know and that's your identity, that was a very, for me personally, horrible. It was like such a very difficult time. My dad had a difficult time with it. It was just a very emotional thing. Was it the right decision? Absolutely. We had no other choice because distribution changed and L'Oreal wanted to kind of cut out the middleman. So we were the last one standing in the independent distributors and we held out as long as we could. But so it was definitely mourning a loss, but it opened up the opportunity to do what we're doing now. So that was exciting.
And just to give our listeners a little bit of the gravity of the moment, if you know the industry channel well, Emiliani is the equivalent of like a household name. Everybody knows that name that's in the business in the region. So, to see
back
that
back in the day, definitely.
That's really how it was. And to see that go away. Well, temporarily, right? It only went away temporarily. So let's
Yeah.
talk about the next chapter. So
Yes.
it was acquired by L'Oréal in 12, and then you and the family then came out of that and built what's now called the Milioni Metro as sort of the next chapter. Can you talk about that evolution for a moment?
Yes. At the time that we were selling, we were obviously younger. It was in 2012. And me and my cousins, we were like, Paul Mitchell did not want the brand to go with L'Oreal. So Paul Mitchell says to us, would you be interested in still carrying our brand and spinning off and doing your own thing? And we jumped at it because, first of all, at the time, the brand was like family to us. So they were definitely somebody we could partner with. We trusted them. They trusted us. It was a really good fit. And we were still young. Like we were like, what are we doing with ourselves? Like, you're not going to reinvent yourself in your 40s, right? This is what you know. So we kind of all agreed that this is a path that we wanted to do. And we thought, we had so many brands out of Milioni. We're like, oh, one brand, it's going to be, we could do this with our eyes closed. And we did. Like, it was, we made it a very fun environment. Like, it was very good for our emotional health as well, and for our, just our mental stamina, because it was, like I said, very emotional. Now this kind of breathed life back into us. So we were like, hey, we still have a lot to offer the beauty industry. And to be quite honest, we love the hairdresser. They are at the core of everything that we do. So we were like, we could still offer them, great service. We could still be an independent distributor. So that's what we ended up doing.
So, what was the time horizon from the acquisition by L'Oréal in 2012 and then the reintroduction of Emiliani Metro as the next chapter? How many years had
So
gone by?
it was 6 months later. So
Oh.
we once we sold, and we went through our mega depression. Once we sold and went through that changing time period, and we were like, you know what? Let's do it. So we made the decision in like 3 to 4 months after, and then from there we acquired. We got into this building, and believe it or not, we were Paul Mitchell Metro first because we had a non-compete with L'Oreal. We couldn't use our name. Like, we sold the name. So after 5 years, we had a non-compete. We said, can we get our name back? Right. So we were able to negotiate getting the name back. And for us, that was a big deal. So 5 years into Paul Mitchell Metro, we turned into Emiliani Metro. And for us, that was a big deal because that, I mean, it's who we are. And a lot of people didn't even know that we were the Emiliani family at Paul Mitchell Metro. They were like, what do you mean the Emilianis are still in business? So it was interesting. It was a
So
good
yeah,
time,
so
though.
it was a an opportunity to kind of re-debut with a name that many still held on to and had familiarity with. So
Yes.
it must have been an exciting period
It was.
after a depressed period.
Yes. It was the light at the end of the tunnel for us, definitely. Yes.
So as legacy businesses change hands, especially as they go through generational transition and
Right.
safe to assume that as Emiliani Metro, it's very much you and your cousins at the helm. There's no, the previous generation is not involved, as I understand
Right.
it.
Right.
There's sometimes a temptation to either hold on too tightly to the past or maybe race too fast to the future. So,
Yeah.
how do you and your cousins as the leadership team find the right balance for, in the brand Emiliani Metro?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question, actually. I would have to say that it's the market that determines how where we pivot with the business. So what's great is when you are a small family-owned business, you can change the ship any way you want, as quickly as you want. So we can pivot and turn and go with market changes. Like when COVID happened, no problem. We could still, we were coming in here and picking orders ourselves, like not asking our employees to be here, but we did it. So we just are able to pivot with the market, really. And we can do, we took a lot of what made us great at Emiliani, and then there was some stuff that wasn't so great, right? Like it wasn't a perfect entity. And we were able to kind of take that and make the changes and bring it here. So it's been, we are able to just make changes as quickly as we need to, with the market. So that's been a lot easier than when we were 400 employees and we had 10 family members to approve things. And, it just got to be a little bit too much.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's more commensurate with the state of your industry. It's an agile, it's a fast-moving industry.
It is.
Things do change,
Yes.
and you now have the agility to move and shift and shape
Exactly.
change to the
Yes.
tune of the market.
That's right.
Let's talk about working alongside Maria and Carl for a minute,
Yeah.
because it sounds like the three of you have kind of been together under the
Yes.
family business for some time now.
We have. Yep.
So what's making that trio work well today as Emiliani Metro and right now?
So when we were at Emiliani, so first of all, Carl is like a brother. So even though he's married into the Emiliani fit, like he's like a brother. He's been with my cousin since they were 16, right? High school sweethearts. So I don't even remember life without him. So we at Emiliani Enterprises, it was my father, my uncle, my other cousins, a lot of people married into the family and then their kids. And it became very, it's difficult. It's not easy to have a family business, but us core three, we always seem to have been able to navigate easily. There was always a mutual respect. And me, my cousin Maria, think very much alike. Where, she is her father's daughter, I'm my father's daughter, and they were business partners. So we think very similarly. So for us, it was not even a question like, oh, should I have a business with them? They would be the only two that I would have a business with, right? So yeah, it's very easy to navigate because there's trust and we have such a history. Like we've been through it all. We really have. So
So the chemistry
easier,
was always
easier than
there.
you'd imagine.
Yeah, it sounds like the chemistry was there from the beginning,
It is,
and
yes.
so it was very
Definitely.
fluid to be there in business too, as it is in your
Yeah,
personal lives. Yeah,
definitely.
I could think of a trio, three brothers, brilliant guys, very talented,
Yeah.
but unfortunately, they like to drink a lot and fight a lot, and unfortunately, that showed up in the business in some.
Well, that's a problem. That's a problem.
I kind of looked at them like I'm not sure how this is going to work. So.
Yeah.
It's always I always scratch my head when I see siblings or family members that don't get along foundationally suddenly decide that they're suddenly
It's a
going to
good
get
idea
along
to
in the
have a business.
business, you know. I'm
That's
like,
the worst
not sure
idea.
if it's going to work.
That's the worst idea. Yeah. So it does work for us, and it always has, to be honest. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So given that it is though, they are family, right? And I'm sure, even though you are aligned and you seem to be very aligned in terms of probably your values and your judgment and how you
Yes.
see things, along comes disagreement from time to time, right?
Yeah.
So how do you navigate something that, should be a healthy disagreement and avoid letting things get personal, given that they are such a closely bonded and you are very close as family
Right.
members?
Yes. So, interestingly enough, I know this might be hard to believe, but we don't really have arguments. Like we were brought up. Respect in our family is probably one of the top legacy things that our family left us. Everything was about respect. So it was, how do you, like for us, if there's something that, if I'm not, oh, I didn't know that, why didn't I know that? I'll just go in and say, hey, listen, communication, right? Have the respect to, and it always ends up being like a misunderstanding, right? It always ends up being like, oh, we thought you heard that. You weren't in the meeting. We thought you were in that meeting, so things like that. But there's just, oh, there's always been a mutual respect. And I feel like if you don't have that in business, even in a marriage, right? Like when you're married, you need communication and respect for each other. And that's basically what we have. We communicate well. Like I said, Maria and I think very similarly. Like she could read my mind, I could read hers. It's very interesting. And I think it's just the birth order of us being the youngest. We took care of all our father's affairs and we handled their real estate and we, paid all their bills and we just think the same. So it's been if there is a conflict, it's resolved quickly and respectfully. There's never like, yeah, there's just never those crazy times where people are, yeah. I'm not gonna lie, there was a little of that at Emiliani because there were so many different personalities, right? So
Yeah.
this didn't agree with that or whatever. But with the three of us, it's kind of been like we've been there, done that, and now we kind of know how to move forward.
Yeah. And when you put enough passionate Italians in the room, sometimes
Oh yeah.
there might be some, what we'll call them, spirited debates.
Very spirited. But we don't have spirited debates. That was more of like the previous generation or in-laws or things like that. But yeah, it's been pretty, nobody believes us, but it's been pretty simple, if that
Well,
makes sense. Yeah.
I think you nailed it on, both the mutual respect, but also the communication. And I think
Yeah.
that's been a recurring theme on this program is when there are multiple family members involved and engaged in the business,
Yes.
that is critical. That is critical.
It
And
is.
true of any sort of partnership, really. We had
You're right.
two gentlemen who started a consulting practice called the Partnership Guys, and
Right.
really they lay out the framework for a healthy partnership. And a lot of it is soft skills and the things you talk about
Yeah.
offline, which become the foundations of building a strong, healthy partnership, not unlike a
Yeah.
marriage or not unlike any other very closely held relationship. So it sounds like you have that in the three of you,
We do.
and that's
And
really.
I consider us very lucky because, like, sometimes, even just going through this move where it's a lot, right? It's just a lot, and there's a lot of things happening. And, but we'll just look at each other and we laugh, and we're just like, it is what it is, right? And we laugh our way through it.
That's
And I
great.
think that's important too, we laugh a lot. So we make sure we have fun too.
So, and that's, that's important too, right? You gotta
Yes.
have fun. You spend a lot of time there, you gotta have fun there.
That's true.
So it's safe to say in this latest iteration of Emiliani Metro, when you're at the we'll call it the table at a gathering, there's obviously the three of you that are engaged in the business, and then I'm sure there's lots of family members who are not, or maybe were and no longer are. So are you sensitive to that? Do you have to be sensitive to that? Do you leave business out of the conversation? Do they talk to you about the business, or how do you handle those
So what's
situations?
interesting is when the three of us, like say we're down at the Jersey Shore, we're all with our family, we don't talk about business.
Okay.
And I think we learned because of the way we were brought up, where it was always business. We don't want that. We want the healthy balance of this is work, this is not, right? So, I mean, if we had to talk about something, we would have that conversation privately or whatever, but we're not talking business in front of anybody. And believe it or not, a lot of times we don't at all when we're in a
Yeah.
family environment. We just don't. We'll call each other during work hours. Hey, do you have a minute? Let's talk about this. And we move on. But yeah, we learned that that's not what we wanted for ourselves because our poor fathers were so, everything was business. Sunday dinner was business. So,
Yes,
yeah.
I know
Yeah. And I'm
that
sure,
well.
it might be different for Marie and Carl. I'm sure they talk a little bit more about it at home
Yeah.
because we're married. My husband is not in the business, so we're good. Yeah,
Cool.
none of that.
So getting back to the Emiliani name, as I mentioned in the opening, definitely carries a lot of weight and notoriety in the market, and had a legacy before it was
Right.
reimagined as Emiliani Metro. How do you feel that, Nancy? How do you feel that responsibility that comes with stewarding a family name that people know and trust and that has the legacy that Emiliani does?
Yeah.
How do you wear that?
Well, I mean, we wear it with pride, honestly. Everything we do is very focused on the hairdresser and how we can help salons. And that's literally what was given to us by our parents, right? Like, okay, this is going to be the next generation. We need to make sure that the hairdresser is taken care of. How do we help them with their business? So it really is like, we just love our customers, to be quite honest. So it's easy. Like it really is. It's easy. And they instilled that in us. And it's, as long, like I said, respect with the name. What's very interesting is So we have one of our accounts, right? And they're a pretty big account for us now with Paul Mitchell. But my father called on his father in the 60s, sold him product,
Wow.
right? So now we're selling to his son. And it's so interesting. It's like the circle of life. It's really cool. And to like see like the next generation, because a lot of these salons are family owned. Now their kids come in. So I think it's just a natural progression for us that now we're doing business with the next generation in these bigger salons. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's very, we love it. I mean, we're so blessed to be in an industry that is not boring, that has a lot of character, that is continuously education. You have to constantly be up on the newest trends, right? It's not stagnant, like you said earlier. It's an exciting business. So easy, it's actually easier than you'd think. It really
That's
is.
awesome. And you
Yeah.
really firsthand enunciate a point that does come up on this program. And that's the whole idea of when there's a generational transition in a business, that same generational transition is happening all around them.
That's right.
Customers are changing, the face of the customer is changing, the marketplace and the needs and
That's
demands
right.
is changing, everything is changing. So for that business to try to remain stagnant or hold fast to the old rules, if you will, they're going to
Yep.
have a hard time, because it's a new
Yep.
world. Every time that you transformed into Melia and Metro, that's the next iteration of this business, as
Right.
did the world around you, as did the customers around you.
That's
They're
right.
transitioning too, and
Yeah.
that's exciting.
It is exciting.
So let's, and you've alluded to a few points where there's definitely been some change. So let's talk about that for a moment.
Okay.
Talk about a few things that have changed from, say, your parents' or your uncle's generation to yours,
Yeah.
not only in how you maybe run the business, but also maybe how you define success or your outlook for the business. So talk about
Yeah.
some of the things that did change in this transition.
So it's very interesting. So you have to remember the generation that our parents, came from. The hard work, that American dream, that, coming here with nothing and then working their way. And when I tell you, they worked tirelessly, not just the dads, like my mom was in the business, my aunt, like everybody worked tirelessly, selflessly, to the point where my dad needed like five bypasses. I'm like, how do you get five? I mean, he needed heart surgery, he had heart disease, he had so many things from the stress. And I have to say, they did not have a work-life balance at all. And they were good with that because they were like, this was their American dream. They were living it, right? They came from nothing and lived this dream. But we thought differently, right? We were like, okay, hold on a second. There has to be a reason we're working this hard. It has to be to enjoy life, right? So we take that thought process with us, and I'll never forget when we talked about people working from home, the look on their face was priceless. What do you mean a worker from home? What do you mean a worker from home? There's no work at home. They do their laundry, they're on the phone, they're taking a walk. Like they didn't believe in any of that whatsoever. So it was interesting because we're like, we believe in that, right? As long as you get your job done, as long as you're answering the phone when it's ringing, right? Like, okay, you could be here or there, especially during COVID, right? What were our options? So we do a much better job at a work-life balance, whereas the first generation did not. But my gosh, look what they accomplished, right? So prime example is at 3 o'clock in the office, we do espresso and cornhole in the hallway. So, but our employees love that. They look forward to it, but it's a 10-minute thing. We have espresso and it doesn't take much time, but it just brings that little like, hey, we're going to have fun too, right? So you bring a little fun and that. So we definitely work easier. We appreciate a work-life balance much more than our parents did, that's for sure. They were
100%.
way too selfless.
When back in the day, before I started here, true story, if there was like a big snow event, you'd say, okay, snow day, because that was pre, work from
Yeah.
home connection.
Yep.
My father had a really big truck as a secondary. He would
That's
drive
too
around.
bad.
He would drive around and pick everyone up and go to the office. So like, oh, I can't get in because of the roads. He's like, no, I got you. We'll be by in 20
Exactly.
minutes. And then, and he
So
would round
funny.
everybody up and they go to work.
That's
And,
just hysterical. And they
and
were
they
probably
didn't.
so mad.
Well, I think they knew who they were working for. So I think it was,
That's funny. But it
I
is
mean,
that generation, right? They didn't believe in those things. Like it was just the way it was. I mean, I appreciate so much of what they did. Like I was able to take what they did right and with the things that they didn't do so right. And we were able to kind of just make it work for our little world that we have here. So that's funny though about your dad. My dad would do the same, I'm sure. If he had a truck, he'd be picking people up. That's funny.
So if I come by to visit you at the office, I'm going to make sure it's around 2:55 just so I can get in for a little
Are you a good
espresso
cornhole player? Are you a
and cornhole.
good player?
I'm not a good player, but I like to play, and I certainly
We
love
have so much. We have
espresso.
so much fun doing it. And it's so funny because we could be so busy, but we're like, nope, oh, got to do our 10 minutes, right? And it really does. It like connects you with everybody. We have fun. We laugh.
I
And
love
yes, you are welcome here at 3 p.m. anytime.
Thank
Anytime,
you.
Ed.
So, talking about getting back to the generations, you now have the third generation is now entering the business. Talk about that for a moment. And what is one lesson maybe that you feel an urgency to really pass on to them before, or so they don't have to learn it kind of the hard way themselves? So as you see that third generation coming in, talk about that and talk about what you feel that you need to pass on to them.
It's interesting because, to be quite honest, I did not want my kids anywhere near the business because I grew up with working with my dad, and it was just, when I lived with him and worked with him, it was unhealthy because it was just too much. Once I, was married, I'm out of the house, and it became a lot different relationship. But I didn't want that for my kids. But then I'm like, well, I'm not my father, right? I have the boundaries. I'm not going to expect them to work and, the way my dad expected me to just live, breathe, and live Emiliani Enterprises. But it's very interesting because they know, like our kids know, they grew up with it. Everything's about respect. Like they knew their grandparents. When you go there, I mean it's just this cultural thing, right? So we don't want them to think that it's a given. Respect is earned. You give respect, but you have to earn your respect. So you can't just, because you're an Emiliani family member, think you're good. I'm harder on my son than I would be on an employee, believe it or not.
I
So
do.
yeah, that is definitely like my dad. I'm hard on my kids because I want them to know this is real life. Like this is real life. If you want to succeed in life, you have to put the effort in, you have to work harder. And sometimes when they're family, they do have to prove themselves more because people think they have it so easy, right? But do they? I don't know. I guess it depends on how you're parenting them. So for us, we expect a lot from them when it comes to respect and all that, but we're not handing them anything. It's earned, and that's really important.
So right now you have is it your son that's involved?
So he, believe it or not, he has a degree in audio engineering. So like recording studios and all that. AI is kind of taken over, right? So like everything's just happening so quickly, and it was very difficult for him. And he was like trying to apply. Anyway, long story short, he's going to go on the road for us now, right? But what a great thing. He's going to go out. I mean, his name is Dominic. I named him after my dad. I said, what a great legacy you get to carry, right? You get to walk in, and these are salons that knew my dad from the 60s. And he gets to walk in and be like, So I said, but you got to walk proudly with the family name. You have to represent us well. You're not just an employee, you're a family member. So now you have to wave the flag people are. Expect things from just a little bit more. So we want them to know that nothing's going to be handed to you. Well, at least I am like that.
So in addition to Dominic Jr., are there other family, Gen 3 family members
My
involved?
cousin Maria's daughter,
Daughter,
Gianna.
okay. Okay,
Yep,
Gianna.
she handles social media and she's going to start going on the road a little. And her son, Vincent, is a sales rep for us and
Okay.
he has been for several years now.
Okay.
So he's on the road representing us. So,
So they've been involved then for some time now, a little bit.
yes,
Okay.
yep,
Okay.
definitely. Yeah.
So it's not uncommon for younger generations, those up and coming, to sometimes challenge legacy assumptions. So you've certainly instilled in them the importance of being respectful and the high level of attention and really adoration that you show to Emiliani clients. And I think that they're probably going to carry that, consistently.
I hope so.
But have they been stepping up and bringing challenging assumptions or bringing to the table ideas and thinking that's making you and Carl and Maria somewhat rethink or recalibrate what you once believed? Are they coming to the table with new thoughts, new
You know,
ideas?
it's so interesting because I don't need to tell you, Ed, how this generation knows everything about technology. And we're just a bunch, well, they're like, okay, boomer, like that's the big joke here. Okay, boomer. We're not boomers, I'm Gen X, but I'm like, okay. But they're like, okay, boomer. And they laugh at us because they were like, TikTok, what's that? Right? Yeah, like, so they're bringing technology ideas that we don't understand, but open to, hey, listen, this, we know it's the way of the world. We come up with your ideas, you know, start the TikTok page, start the Instagram stories, doing all that. That is not in our wheelhouse and we know our limitations. So yeah, they have, they are bringing to the table the things that we would bring to the table with our parents, but they didn't want to hear it, right? They were not open to it. They did not want the, you know, they didn't want the, I don't know, they didn't like the change, right? They were kind of like, they liked the habit of things. So we would always try and get them to change little things. But we're willing to change, right? Technology is changing everything. And we're just not well versed the way they are. We really not. So they're bringing a lot of that to the table. And it's been so interesting because we have TikTok now. And now I
So
love
you're
TikTok.
Encouraging it and you're letting them, bring
Absolutely.
it. That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
That's
Yeah.
wonderful. That's really
Yeah,
healthy. That's really
absolutely.
great. So when you think of the word legacy, and it's been brought up a few times in our conversation,
Yeah.
what does that mean to you now, especially after the transition you went through and then the rebuild after? So
Yeah.
when you think of legacy now, what does that mean to you?
Yeah.
Let's see.
So I think, you know, it means so many things to different people. It's not about the money and the tangible things that were left to us. For me, it's more about the core values, like the legacy of the core values of our family that still exists. It's very interesting because, you know, you're in America and like everybody has, you know, becomes Americanized. But for our family, we've still been able to keep and maintain that core value system of a legacy that we're passing to our kids, right? And it's pretty cool. So for us, like, here's the other thing. You know, they didn't want to, like, our last building that we were at Emiliani Enterprises, we were renting, right? And we were like, oh, we should buy the building. Like, and they were like, yeah, you know, like a little hesitant, right? We are now 13 years into this and we are buying a building because we're like, you know what? We're going to do that and it'll be for the next generation. So we're going to carry on the legacy of the tangible things as well as the core value things. So I think it's just a win-win, honestly. It's a
Cool.
win-win.
Nice. So, gonna get sad with you for a moment. A few years back, your family experienced some significant personal loss,
Yes.
passing of your mother, the passing of your father. So, with that chapter, Nancy, talk for a moment about how those losses, kind of shape the way you see the world, the way you see the company, and maybe even the way you lead today.
So, yeah, that's hard for me to be quite honest because it's kind of fresh. My uncle, it's so weird when I think about, like, so my uncle and my aunt were like my second mom and dad, right? So within the last 5 years, we lost my mom, my aunt, and my dad. So it was like, and my uncle was, he had gotten sick and he passed, oh my gosh, it's like, I think it's 8 years already. But those losses for us have been, it's almost like now we just carry their flag, right? So as difficult as that was, we're like in a way, I'm like so honored to be able to continue his legacy, right? And my uncle's legacy. I'm like, wow, look how lucky we are that we get to continue with that, right? That we get to hold the banner of the Mulyani name in the beauty industry in honor of them. So for me, it's kind of like, I think if I didn't have this, it would be not as, like, I would still be not good with it. Do you understand what I mean? Like my sisters who aren't in the business, I feel like I'm honoring them every day by doing this, right? And it's so, yeah, it's just very, yeah, we're blessed. It's been a lot of loss, but with that prime example, we started a separate LLC for this new building that we're doing, and we use the name Jem, Jemm, James, Enza, Mary, and Mimo. And we used the initials of their name. So in these little ways, we're able to honor them, you know, even though nobody else knows that, we know that. So
You
we
know
feel
that.
like we're honoring them every day by just keeping their memory alive, really keeping their memory alive. So
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful.
and I did that without crying, Ed.
Yes, you did.
I mean, amazing. I did it without crying. Yeah.
So my dad was on record saying to my uncle in a conversation many years ago. My uncle asked him, what do you hope to build in D'Elia Associates? And he said, well, I'd like to think I could build something that lives well beyond me. And passed in 2012, and here we are in 2026. And
But
here we
isn't it
are.
an honor, like, to be able to? That's how I look at it. I think it's an honor to be able to carry that. Yeah. And so for me, I feel like the loss was hard, but for it's like comforting for me that I'm able to, like, the espresso that we make is my father's espresso maker from his home. I used to go to his house every night. He lived in my town and we'd have espresso. I brought it here and now that's what we use. We have my dad's espresso maker. You know, so there's all these little things that we do to honor them every day that, you know, it gives us peace and it gives us a little bit of, yeah.
And the reinstatement of the name, I think, not only had brand significance for the marketplace, it sounds like,
Yeah.
it had tremendous personal significant
Personal,
emotional
definitely. Yes.
meaning and
And
relevance and resonance
yep.
to you and your Carl and Maria and the next generation coming in.
That's right. I know. It's very cool, though. Yeah.
So if your parents or maybe your uncle could look into the business today, what do you think that they, what do you hope that they would say, hey, you protected, you safeguarded well, and what are some areas where you'd say, wow, you really evolved here. I'm
Yeah.
impressed.
I would think that they would, first of all, us buying this building, I know they would be ecstatic. They would be like, oh my God, you know, like what a great business move. Because we just know that's the next step for us. But I think that honoring their reputation, so really carrying that Emiliani name banner in the industry and keeping it on a level of integrity. And I think it's important for our family to kind of carry that and make sure that I feel like they would be super proud with how we represent them and the name by just integrity, honestly. People of our word, if we, you know, if we have customers that need our help, we're there. So we're honest. We learned all of that from them. We were just carrying that on. So I think that they would be happy. I also think that they would be happy with the fact that we're embracing technology and how like AI is just kind of changing everything and we got to keep up with it. And we are, we're trying our hardest. So I think those are the things that they would be proud of, definitely. And I know they would love our kids being in the business. That's for sure. Without a doubt, without a doubt. Yeah.
So the kids in the business did have a chance to know their grandparents pretty
Oh
well.
yeah. Oh yeah.
So they understand what they're all about, and
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, my son, still talks. My dad was in my town, so my son, once he got his license, he would be like, "Hey," my dad would make up an excuse just to see him, right? He'd be like, "Something's wrong with my remote," and my son would get in the car and have to go fix his, but just to see him, right? And he did it with love and respect at all times. So it was good that they were able, because they don't make people like that anymore. Like, that generation of gentlemen doesn't exist. It's very sad, but so we try to like really keep that, honoring them and passing that to the next generation.
And while I never met your dad, I certainly heard stories about him, and the way you describe him is exactly as he was described to me, as
Aw,
a gentleman,
that's
a
so nice to
statesman, as
hear.
definitely
Aw.
had a charisma about him and a bit of a
My
stature about
uncle
him.
and my father both, they were true gentlemen. Amazing. Yeah. So,
Great
hey,
legacy to carry forward for sure.
I know, but it's a really good, like, it's so good for your kids to be able to see that, 'cause like, right? Like, now it's like, wow, you know what? They could, what a great role model for them.
For
It
sure,
really
for sure.
was. Yeah, my dad was a total people person. People loved him. He loved people. And yeah, I missed the heck out of him.
Same.
Right? I know.
But strangely, I feel like they're still, their energy, their spirit is still
Oh, without a doubt.
circling, and
Without a doubt.
when you're quiet and you're at peace and you ask the hard questions, you find the answers, and you wonder
Right.
sometimes, is it them tapping on your shoulder and whispering in your ear a little bit?
That's the truth. You're right, Ed. That's good that you feel that way too.
Last question for you. If anybody wanted to connect with you to learn more about your story, Nancy, or to learn more about Emiliani Metro, what's the best way for them to connect?
So, I mean, they can email me. They can find me at emilianimetro.com, and right through there, they would be able to kind of see a little pictures and information about our company. They can always email me. I can give you my email address if that. LinkedIn. I'm not a big LinkedIn person, to be quite honest, because I feel like that's for people who are looking for jobs, and I got enough to do right now, Ed. I'm not gonna lie, but. I am on LinkedIn, and I would accept a message from there as well. But and through
Wonderful.
Emiliani Metro, there are phone number or contacts on there, and I'm always here. Always, everybody could find me. Even high school people still find me. They're like, "I knew you'd be at Emiliani somewhere." Oh, yeah.
All that'll be in the show notes as well, so far away.
That's
So,
great.
to wrap things up, family business is never just about business. It's about continuity, identity, and the courage sometimes to begin again.
Yeah.
Nancy, thank you for sharing the Emiliani story and the perspective that comes from carrying a family legacy forward. Again, we've been speaking with Nancy Emiliani d'Argenti of Emiliani Metro, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thank you so
Thank
much for
you.
listening, and we will see you next time. Nancy, thanks so much for joining us
Thank you. You're the best. Thank
today.
you. I
Thanks
appreciate
again.
it.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.